Jeffrey, today we're going to discuss, because some fans, depending if it was celebratory or because of stress due to free agent frenzy, and if they like the signing or dislike the signing of the player, we're going to talk about alcohol and athletic performance. And, alcohol is obviously used sometimes as a celebration. For some people, it's relaxation. For some people, it's stress, whatever. Do you know of athletes who even, like, take a shot of something or, a beer before? Is there any benefit to having, like, 1 ounce before any athletic endeavor?
Well, very good question. And at one time, I think alcohol may have been viewed as a way to enhance physical performance, primarily because the athlete perceived the drink to calm the nerves, reduce inhibitions, but modern day scientific evidence would not support that notion. Now, back in the day, Gregor, in the era of Mickey Mantle in 1951 to 1968, he played baseball for the New York Yankees. And beer was commonplace. Beer and cigarettes were commonplace in the locker room. So even in small doses, alcohol negatively affects aerobic performance by metabolizing the alcohol over carbohydrates and blood lipids, which are the preferred energy sources during aerobic activity. Beyond that, even having the smallest amount of alcohol, the athlete would suffer compromised motor skill, delayed reaction time, all contributing to a higher risk of injury. So for all those reasons, the American College of Sports Medicine and Dietitians of Canada suggest zero alcohol ingestion 48 hours prior to athletic competition. But I think some, like I say, in the day, probably took a shot.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one thing that has, there's a beer after sport or exercise for, definitely in men's league, I can tell you that. Is it that bad of an idea, or having one afterwards is it okay? Like, what does the science tell? Like, obviously anything in moderation. I'm not talking go out there and crush a six pack. I'm just talking if you have one after.
Well, it is very common, especially in rec sports, but our goal after exercise is to recover from that stress, replenish glycogen, and that's the energy stored in muscle cells after we refuel. Then we need to stimulate muscle protein synthesis, which is a naturally occurring process of muscle repair after intense exercise. Spoiler alert. Unfortunately, beer does not contain enough carbohydrates or electrolytes to meet those replacement demands. The athlete would be better served to ingest a sport drink or even water with some sort of salty food. That would suffice. That would be a better way to go. And again, I want to note that this is not necessary after a 30-minute walk or some low-intensity pursuit where it's just moderate activity for a very reduced timeline. And on the other side, one of the other side effects of filling up on beer after intense exercise is the displacement of carbohydrates and protein. So the athlete is less likely to follow optimal nutritional guidelines for recovery if they filled up on beer. But let's face it. I mean, we all do it. I mean, I enjoy a drink. And, after you've been out there exercising, playing a sport, a team sport for an hour and a half, especially, even coming off the ice, men's league hockey. I mean, there's nothing more satisfying than having a beer. But by the science, I mean, it's probably not the best thing.
Okay. Now, what about chronic consumption? Obviously, overuse is not good. Have you the studies, and I don't know how often it changes, but, you hear, a glass of wine a day is good for you. Is there any benefits for, and I'm talking one beverage a day? Is it, mm-hmm. If it's wine or highball or beer, maybe they're different. I don't know. But is there any sort of proven benefit to one a day?
Well, again, it depends. I think that, you could probably lead some sort of healthy lifestyle with a little bit of alcohol consumption, depending on which guidelines you follow. Now, at one time, there was some research that suggested that with modest amounts of alcohol, you could improve your cholesterol levels, your high-density lipoproteins specifically. But again, it should be understood that your cholesterol is largely a genetic issue. But the alcohol industry, you know, started to perpetuate, you know, the value in alcohol consumption based on this little bit of research. Now, in Canada, for example, a standard drink in Canada is a measure of how much pure alcohol you are drinking. It varies based on the concentration of alcohol in a beverage. A standard drink is 17.05 milliliters or 13.45 grams of pure alcohol. That's the equivalent of a 12-ounce beer at 5% alcohol by volume, a 12-ounce cider, a 5-ounce glass of wine at 12% alcohol, or 1.5-ounce spirit. Now, the Government of Canada website indicates safe consumption guidelines, two standard drinks per day for a female, but not to exceed 10 standard drinks per week, or for a female, you could have three standard drinks at a special occasion, a wedding or something like that. But you should try to avoid drinking alcohol on some days. For men, three standard drinks, not to exceed 15 per week. And a man can have four standard drinks at a special occasion, according to those guidelines. And the gender differences for consumption are based on the body mass of men being a little bit larger. Now, in the UK, they reviewed all of the guidelines as it related to cancer and everything else, and they looked at the evidence about heart health, and it wasn't conclusive enough in their mind where your heart was any healthier. So they reduced their servings where it would equate, it would translate to about 0.75 or 3/4 of a drink in Canada. And they're suggesting that it's only one drink or 3/4 of a drink per day would be the recommendation with no gender-specific consumption guideline. So for me personally, sort of diving into this a little bit, based on what I saw about cancer risk, I would say the UK guidelines are a much safer measure. And if you are athletic at any level, you can shake off 3/4 of a drink. I think you're gonna manage a whole lot better. And you could probably expect this: better sleep, longer sleep, improved performance at work or play, less risk of injury, faster recovery if you do get injured, a stronger, more stable emotional health, and superior adaptations to your training for both aerobic conditioning and strength training. Both would be better served drinking less alcohol.
Well, you lost me at 4 at a real celebration. I'm just like, whew, I've really failed that a few times in my celebrating career. I will say that. But I understand it. I can tell you a story about I went and got a blood test once, and this was, I want to say 10 or 12 years ago. And I remember it vividly because I got my blood test on a Tuesday. That's when I went in for my blood test. And my doctor called me like 2 days later, the results. He's like, hey, how are you feeling? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And he's like, well, you know, we got some real odd numbers here. We got to go in for a test. You know, did you have any beer on the weekend? I was like, well, actually, we had like a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. And he's like, oh, my goodness. And so I had that Friday, Saturday. I was on Sunday, and my blood levels were still off the charts. So I waited, and I didn't have a sip for like 10 days or a week before my next test, and everything mm-hmm. was back to normal. And I was just like, wow, 72 hours later, and it's still, it just had my, like, really low levels. I can't remember what the low level was, but it totally screwed up the whole test. It was kind of interesting to me that even 72 hours later, there were still these side effects.
Well, interesting to that, too. So let's say that, you know, you have an athletic competition of some sort, and you were in the state that you just talked about, and you have to compete aerobically. You have to run or cycle or something. You will probably be working at an 11% reduction in your aerobic capacity. So for anybody that you're competing against, you know, that is tip-top, good night's sleep, no alcohol consumption, they have a distinct advantage. And you'll find this interesting too, Gregor. The Center for Disease Control defines binge drinking as 4 or more drinks in less than 2 hours. So even the Canadian guidelines for a male at a special occasion, I mean, by their definition, that individual is binge drinking.
Interesting. Oh, that's pretty serious. Everything's a everything's a guideline at times, right? Everything could be a guideline for sure. So.
That's true. That
Jeffrey,
true.
I appreciate always. I think it's fair to say though, if you're training to be an athlete or anything, at certain times you definitely need to avoid it. But you know, I would assume if you're in great shape, or that's my last one. If you're in great shape, rather than you know maybe someone who isn't, can your body adapt to it better? Like, can it not hinder you as much as somebody who's maybe not well conditioned, or is that irrelevant?
No, well, no, there is relevance in that. Listen, the stronger you are and the more aerobically fit that you are, regardless of what you're trying to overcome, whether it's a hangover, whether it's, you know, frailty or having some sort of disease that was unforeseen and you end up in the hospital, being stronger and in better shape will help you mitigate the symptoms always. So there's value in being fit and obviously just sort of monitoring alcohol consumption in general, just for good health.
Jeffrey, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Have yourself a great night.
Thanks, Jason. You too.